Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. I'm your host, Roger Z, and it's my pleasure to present live music to the borough of Westchester Day. Westchester. Today we have a special guest, Kat.
Hi, how are you?
I feel great.
Awesome.
So why don't you introduce this great jazz band you have with you
today? All right, I have three of my really, really good friends. This is Joe Abba on the drums, and Sam Manai on the bass, and Sean Fitzpatrick on the keyboard behind me over here.
And your full name?
Is Kat Calvosa, yeah.
It's real funny because when we first talked about having you come, there were two cats who emailed me the same day. Kat Spina.
And me, okay,
that's yes. That's right, do you know her?
I do not, actually.
Okay, so it was a little weird, two cats, and I definitely got confused.
It's rare, actually. I don't encounter a lot of people with cat. So, yeah.
Well, I love Kit Kat bars, so it works.
Okay.
So, your specialty is?
Jazz singer-songwriter tunes. I guess it's a new genre of music, and in a way, it's kind of melding a lot of the things I love about singer-songwriters and my really, my love of jazz music, which...
Well, it sort of fits into the heritage of people, jazz singers taking chestnuts and jazzifying.
Yeah, exactly, like taking old tunes and changing them into new things and singing them new ways. I do that as well, but not on this program. We're doing all original music.
All original. In case anybody ever wonders why we're doing all original music, that's because these people have graciously allowed us not to pay royalties.
It's a good thing, because they're expensive.
That's right. That's why you don't hear cover tunes, because we don't want to pay royalties. But anyway, my favorite Christmas record is Ella Fitzgerald.
I don't know,
but she does all the Christmas stuff, and she scat sings. And
yeah, I own that. I think it's called Ella Fitzgerald, The Swingin' Christmas.
Yes! Yeah, you asked which one, you knew all along.
Well, there are a few, but I
think she has a couple of Christmas ones?
Yes.
Okay. So, how is it working in the jazz field in this day and age?
Interesting. It's, I think you have to be a jack of all trades. You have to wear a lot of different hats. You have to be willing to do a lot of different things. And as a singer, and as a front person, it's, I think, even more difficult because you're always trying to hustle gigs and get gigs and to get people to come out to them. Your sidemen, for better or for worse, they can work a lot more than I can because they'll be in five or six different bands and five or six different nights, whereas if I want to book a gig, it's me, and I have to make sure that I get enough people out to that gig.
You know, I was on Facebook the other day, and there's a new friend of mine whose name I have no idea.
Yeah.
And I guess he's a semi-famous musician, like everybody. And he said that his manager made him read four books on marketing.
Yeah.
And he was taught, and he made him do reviews on them.
Okay.
And the review of the first book was, you know, if I spend an extra half an hour honing this tune, it ain't going to mean anything. But if I spent a half an hour on working on my marketing material,
yep,
the club owners would be much happier.
Pretty much. My husband's in marketing and licensing, and he's always like pushing books at me. And I've read a lot of them, and some of them hold true, and some of them it's difficult to see how it works in the music world. But definitely food for thought.
Now, I'm thinking of a very hot jazz singer now. Can't remember her name, but her husband is Elvis Costello.
Oh, Diana Krall. Yes.
Right. Now, I've been listening to her Greatest Hits album. I think she's okay. I'm not sure what she's bringing to the game new.
She's a really great swinging musician. I think she swings really hard, and she has a good taste for, you know, being true to the tradition of jazz. I think she does a really good job at making sure that everything she does is it's in the tradition of traditional jazz. I don't know if she's necessarily stretching the boundaries of jazz, but I think she's giving something that will last for a while. Kind of, you know, Ella and Billy and all their contemporaries. There were a lot of people around then, not just them, and they kind of stuck out because of whatever people that they met or they played with. And they're both phenomenal musicians. I think she's a really good musician. I think she could. She's just being there, you know, giving the music to people who are willing to listen to it.
What do you do better than her?
What do I do better than her? I think
don't
I tell
be modest.
I think I tell stories better than her. It's something I work on a lot, is getting a lyric across to an audience and really making sure that it sticks. It's something that I think a lot of singers just leave alone. They forget about the lyrical content of what they're saying and what they're trying to get across to their audience.
So you tie the melody to the story.
Yeah, I really, when I write my own lyrics, I spend a lot of time working on crafting it. One of the tunes we're going to play today, it took me a year to write the lyrics and, I don't know, 20 minutes to write the music. So, yeah.
Well, you know, let's get it on. Let's hear what you got.
All right. Fabulous.
Where's my people?
So this first tune we're going to do is called Rising Yellow, Rusty View, and I have a friend of mine that I've known since I was 5, and we used to play on this playground in Wisconsin where I grew up, and there was this massive yellow horse, and it was made of wrought iron, and we would climb all over it, and we would jump off of it, and they've since taken it down because of, I don't know, liability purposes, but we always used to meet there and play, so this is about a friendship. Climbing higher than we should have.
Great bass line.
So the next tune we're going to play is called A Rose. Are you okay?
I'm wondering.
That's a love tune.
Just stay.
the next tune we're going to play is called The Brooklyn Dodger, and this is the tune that I was talking about earlier. The lyrics took me about a year to write and craft, and the story to tell, and I kept trying to find music for it after I had the lyrics, and it took me a while, and then I sat down at the piano one day, and I played this little riff that you're going to hear Sean play, and it just wrote itself in about 10 minutes. It's a story about an old baseball player who is no longer a baseball player.
Thank you.
That sounded so nice.
Thank you.
Let's talk about our influences, mostly yours. Now, one of my favorite people in this genre, Michael Franks.
Yeah, I love him. He's fabulous. Peel Me a Grape and all of those.
Well, I remember his first album with My Baby Cooks Her Eggplant.
Yeah.
Popsicle Toes.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
But you fit right in that genre. Who are some people that you really like?
I really like Joni Mitchell.
Interesting. Early or later?
All. In terms of singers, there's a woman named Jen Chapin, who I really admire. She's very amazing at crafting lyrics. Who else? Really like Carly Simon, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. In terms of singers, I like Ella and Billy. I think my favorite jazz singer of today is Cassandra Wilson. Earlier is probably Carmen McRae. She's one of my all-time favorites. I really also like Kate McGarry. She's an amazing vocalist. In terms of musicians, I'm a Bill Evans fan, like number one person.
Now there's a couple of Bill Evans that I get confused on that.
The pianist.
Okay.
And the first jazz record I ever bought was Kind of Blue, Miles Davis. I actually didn't listen to a lot of singers first. I listened to a lot of musicians before I even got to the singers, aside from Harry Connick Jr., who I listened to a lot, but he was just fun.
Well, he's fun and he's good looking, right?
He's fun! Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know if you were able to prepare the questions we talked about.
I thought about them, yes.
So, Desert Island 3 CDs, what would you bring?
Well, I don't know if I could bring 3 CDs. I'd probably, at this point, bring my iPod and have a whole lot of them.
Who's on your iPod?
Everybody. I have everything from heavy metal to children's music to jazz to pop. But I guess if I was going to bring, it would be a Not Fort. She's a pianist. And it's called A Long Story. And I would bring Bill Evans' Conversations with Myself. And I would bring Kind of Blue, Miles Davis. If I was going to bring 3.
Very interesting. So you have rather eclectic tastes.
Maybe.
And now that I hear what you're talking, you know, it makes sense. I can hear it in your voice. Today is Graham Nash's 68th birthday.
I didn't know that. That's
I'm a
cool.
big fan of his. I've just been getting into some of his earlier albums. Wind on the Water with David Crosby.
Yeah.
I saw Crosby, Stills, and Nash this summer.
I saw them last year. It was fun.
It makes me sad because if they're 68, they're a treasure that may not be around that much more.
Yeah.
Got a very sympathetic band with you today. Sam was with us a couple of weeks ago with the Axis Trio. Very different sound. Your bass is just really hitting home with me tonight.
It's beautiful.
And actually, the way you play bass, it's like each line is a hook. And I'm thinking of that song from Kind of Blue. Do 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 do.
So what?
What?
I mean, not so what to what you're saying, but
that's
all it's called. So what?
But that's kind of what you sound like tonight.
Well, Kat writes the bass lines, too. So
well,
that's
some of them.
Some of them.
I wanted to talk
hooks,
to you.
The hooks, though.
Yeah.
Well, good. Now, what's interesting is you wrote all the music out for these guys.
Yeah.
And they can actually read it.
Well, it helps. It makes rehearsals fast, and when everybody's crunched for time, the last thing I want to worry about is people having to read things. Like, I want to get to the music, and the faster I can get to making music, the faster music is going to happen, because music doesn't live here. It lives here.
So you don't give them a cassette, let's say, or an MP3 ahead of time of the song that you did in your home studio?
No, never actually. And the reason I do it on purpose, because I really want to, I want their input. I really enjoy having them give ideas, and they'll often offer, hey, this might sound really cool, and I'll take a listen to it, and if I like it, great, and if I don't, great. But it gives me, it's really fun, because they know their instruments really well. And
yes, they do. Kat Calvosa, thank you so much for being
thank
with
you
us.
Very much.
Stay tuned for part two.
All right, thanks. And we're out.
Great job.
Well, you write the music so that we can read it? Because I sure didn't.
Give us 1 minute, 12 minutes.
Okay, you owe me a drink, man.